And we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, continuing our conversation with the folks from the West Hampton Beach School District and their Paleos program, which is taken up in the middle school. So eighth graders, Rob, are the ones that are taking advantage of this course and this trip during the summer as well?
Yes, the eighth grade student body takes earth science as part of their science elective, if you will.
Right.
And those students have the opportunity to pursue this.
So this is the same earth science regions class that kids are used to taking across Long Island, but you kind of put a little extra twist on it with this program. So Julia, we were talking, you know, you went all the way out to Wyoming in the summer. You told me about how you signed up for the class because it sounded kind of cool, but then you really got hooked, especially when the scientists that you were working with in Denver really validated what you were doing and heard you and really made you feel like a true partner, not a student-mentor relationship, but a true collaborating partner. So I always enjoy hearing about student trips. How many kids were on the trip, by the way? Approximately. I don't need
13
exact.
Students,
about 13. So 13 eighth, Rob, God bless you. 13 eighth graders going all the way out to this ranch in Wyoming. Now, you made your own breakfast?
We worked as collectively as a group and would prepare meals for everyone.
Wow. I should have sent my kids out on this trip, I'm telling you. Now, what were some of the highlights of the trip? Before we get into these fragments that I'm holding that are 65 million years old, and we'll try to, I guess you're going to try to make me guess what type of dinosaur it was. Tell me about the trip.
So we had to get up really early. So it was like, got to get on this plane, got to get out there because it's going to be a long trip. And we got there, and the first thing we did was we went to the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, and we got like a whole like background tour. We went like behind the scenes and got to see them like getting some of like the matrix out of some of the bones, and it was so that was like one experience that we so it was like, okay, this is what you will learn about in the field, but we're actually going to be digging this stuff up, kind of thing. So that was neat to experience. And then the next day, we went out to the University of Wyoming and got a little tour of that. And we were on our way to the ranch that afternoon. And then we kind of got a feel for everything. And that next day, we were up early in the morning. We made our breakfast. We packed our bags. And we were out prospecting in the ranch.
So you pack your bags, right? You pack your knapsack or whatever you're carrying with the tools necessary to go out in the field. I'm assuming probably no Wi-Fi for cell phones or anything else like that. Yeah, no. I mean, it's a ranch in Wyoming. Why would there be cell phone and Wi-Fi? So now, how early in the morning were you waking up to go out and prospect in the field?
No.
Probably a full day, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so now you're all excited. You're ready to get out there and try to find something. So take me through the first couple of days, what you experienced.
So the first day, we were all just like super excited. So we were like picking up rocks and we're like, wow, look at this cool rock. And then someone was like, I think this is a part of a dinosaur. And we're like, no, that's just a rock, but it's a cool rock. So we'll pick it up anyway. And then we kind of got the lesson from John Hankla, and he was like, okay, this is this and this is that. So we were able to pick up on like little hints that were like, okay, this isn't just rock. This is part of a dinosaur bone. So that was like the first step. And then
what are some of the things that tells you the difference between a rock and a dinosaur bone?
Definitely texture, I would say, is a big thing. And then sometimes if the bone isn't completely solid and you can see the inside, you can see the marrow, like it's like different color.
Yep.
So those are two
clear indicators that you're not dealing with a rock. You're probably dealing with a bone. So now I'm holding two pieces of something in my hand.
Yes.
I have no idea what, but we already covered that it's very old. Who found these?
So on the ranch, like owners, their grandkids are around our age.
Right.
And the older of the grandkids, Wyatt, found this bone that you are currently holding.
Wyatt from Wyoming. There's a country song in there somewhere. So Wyatt found this as you guys were participating and collaborating. You guys must have been really excited that you came across something.
Very excited.
And this is a pretty sizable thing. I mean, it fits in the palm of both of my hands. So these two pieces are, you know, they're not tiny. They're a pretty good size. So what am I holding?
So you are just holding two fragments of a Triceratops brow horn.
Wow. Now, I've heard of Triceratops, and I've heard of the brow horn, so this is part of the horn.
Yes.
So, Rob, when the kids made the discovery, right, because eighth graders are known to be very quiet, demure, and, you know, don't, you know, get excited or anything. Describe to me the scene when they came across this.
Wyatt had pointed out where in the ranch he had spotted the tip of what he thought was a Triceratops horn. And we spent the better part of 2 days quarrying the area around the bone, learning to pedestal the bone, support it on the rock and matrix that was supporting it, but digging around it. And in doing so, we had both teachers and students find other material, velociraptor teeth and hadrosaur, duck-billed dinosaur bones as well. It was a large floodplain that existed in this area in prehistory that collected all these bony material, and it all fossilized. So the students learn to read the field, look at the area before you start to tackle by digging things out. And then 3 hours one day and 6 hours the next day, 9 hours in temperatures close to 100 degrees, removing this approximately 2-foot-long piece of orbital horn to be prospected out of the ground. The ranch was very impressed with the work of the West Hampton Beach students and decided to give the horn to West Hampton Beach to spend the year cleaning and restoring the bone and returning it back to the ranch the next year.
So, Julia, tell me about the process when you go about cleaning and restoring a bone. What's involved with that?
So it's very new to me because I haven't done it. So one of the other students that I'm working on it with and myself were looking up YouTube videos and researching and doing everything we could. We're asking Mr. Coleman, we're asking John Hankla, like, do you have any tips kind of thing? But it just kind of, you got to get all of the root systems out first so that way you can focus only on the bone. So there were like roots growing through the different pieces.
Okay.
So you have to be very careful that you don't like pull a root, now it shatters the whole bone that you have.
Right.
And then it's slowly trying to clean up all like the loose dirt that you have, so that way you can put some like putty in it and kind of get it back to what it was when it was part of the animal.
Now, Julia, you said you were a pretty good student beforehand, right? And you were kind of, this is kind of cool. But now as a freshman, if you had to talk to an incoming eighth grader about why they need to sign up for this class and go out to 100 degree temperature where there's no Wi-Fi, there's no access to your cell phone or your iPad or anything else, sell me on why I should attend and be part of this program.
It was an amazing experience, and the connections that you make over the course of that week that you're there are incredible. And you don't even end up missing not having your phone or not having Wi-Fi. Like, you don't, you're so into what you're doing that it doesn't even matter anymore. You're like, I don't need to check Snapchat.
Right, you're connected. You're connected with something else.
So it's like something bigger than just you and your friends. You can make a difference and you can have an impact.
And what do you think your experience as a incoming freshman and spending the summer out there, what type of impact has this had on your overall education? What does being a part of this class mean to you and your further studies in West Hampton and beyond?
I definitely think that I will be entering the research program that we have at the high school. I hadn't initially thought I would, but after this experience, I've kind of sparked my interest. And I think I'm going to focus more on math and science as I continue on in my high school career.
Great. Now, I know you're only a freshman. What else are you involved in the school district?
Also in the middle school, I'm in charge of a tutoring program called Tutoring Tuesdays. And so we assign eighth grade students to tutor their peers in sixth, seventh grade. So that way it's more relatable for them. So it's not like you have this older person tutoring you. It's easier to relate to. And I'm taking an AP bio class.
Of course you are.
So that science kind of plays into sometimes.
Sure. And what are some of your other interests?
I'm an Irish step dancer and have been for 7 years.
That is, I tell you, I've seen it. It's tough.
Yes.
And you have to have some pretty good endurance to really do those moves. So very, very impressive. I haven't done river dance in years. No, I mean, I kid. But beyond West Hampton Beach High School, have you been thinking about what is next after that? I know it's a long ways off, but you probably...
Not really, nothing
too particular. But what else would you say to an incoming eighth grader that was the experience? What was the thing that'll stand out in your mind 10 years from now about this trip? It's a big, tough Julia Roberts question. Like, what are you going to remember? What moment, like when you flash back, is going to come right to your head?
I would say just spending time with everyone and meeting everyone. I think that was a very big thing. You get to know everyone really well because you're living with them for an entire week.
And cooking together, cleaning together, and digging in the dirt together. Julia, congratulations. Thanks for telling us all about this Palios program. Mr. Coleman, once again, fascinating, good stuff, a lot to be proud of, and I'm glad somebody on Long Island is tackling it, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, and we've been talking with the folks from the West Hampton Beach School District, home of the Hurricanes. Until next time, this is Bob Vecchio saying don't forget to like our Facebook page, your place to suggest a program, club, or activity for your kids to be right here in our Spotlight.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.